Hello and welcome. This is the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Nathan Ruggles here with you. Thanks so very much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to be here. I'd like to send some thanks out to the United Steelworkers, as well as the Operating Engineers Local 66. We appreciate all their support and keep us on the air here at the Union Edge. Also, you can not only, of course, get us at on your local broadcast from a local radio station, but we are available anytime, anywhere. You can listen online on our website, theunionedge.com. Of course, we also have our app as well. You can download from iTunes, from Google Play, for your Android device, for your iPhone, and not only catch the latest live, but you can also go back and listen to our podcast as well. So, you know, the tax cut issue has been one that we talked a lot about. We have this legislation looming in Congress that could pass and hurt working families. And to talk about this more, including what Trump has said in the past and whether he's delivering on his promises or not, it's our pleasure to have back with us Hedrick Smith on the line with us from ReclaimTheAmericanDream.org, the Pulitzer Prize winning reporter. Hedrick, thanks for joining us.
Nathan, good to be with you once again.
Well, it's great to be talking to you again. And, you know, you've out on your website, you've talked a number of pieces about this tax cut coming up to this point in time. But today, I know you'd like to reflect back on what Trump has said in the past about this.
Well, you know, we're coming to the end of the road here. The Republicans in the House and the Senate, having excluded the Democrats entirely, are putting the final touches on this package. And it's time now kind of to check the record against what Trump promised back in October 2016. And near the very end of his campaign run that won him the White House, Trump said, and these are his words, okay, the largest tax deduction is going to go to the middle class, the people who have been left behind, people who have been forgotten. He said that explicitly. When you look at this tax cut that the Republicans put together, and there'll be some squiggles between now and when it finally passes, but the basic shape is absolutely clear. This is not a middle class tax cut at all. This is a corporate tax cut. The core, the heart of this tax cut, what drives it both philosophically and economically and financially, is a cut in the corporate tax rates from 35% to 21%. Now, what the impact of that'll be, we should get into in a minute, but the point is that's where the focus is. You saw it when they came up to a decision about whether or not, because they're committed to not letting the deficit grow by more than $1.5 trillion. Now, a growth of $1.5 trillion is enormous over the next
decade. Incredible.
The Republicans have been saying all along, deficits are bad, we need to cut the government, we need to cut spending, and here they are now talking about a tax cut, which is going to add enormously to the deficit. But they are limited by their own commitment. Otherwise, they got to get Democratic votes. And so they came up against a rock and a hard place, and they decided that the corporate tax cuts would be permanent. They would last beyond the 10 years. But the individual tax cuts would end. So lots of people are going to see their taxes go back up again, you know, in 2020. There's some of 2022, 23, 24, that period.
And they had
$200 billion from the individuals to corporations.
Yeah, just real quick, just to clarify, too, part of the reason they had those sunset is because of these provisions related to deficit spending, correct?
That's right.
That they have to abide by.
Yeah. We need it. This is going to blow the deficit way up. But they said we won't blow it way up. We'll just blow it way up.
Just way up.
So they have to abide by it. No more than adding $1.5 trillion, which is a lot. They're treating that as though it's not a lot. But if they hadn't put an end to the tax cuts in 2025 for individuals, it would have blown the deficit even higher. But the point was, when it came to a choice between helping corporations and helping middle class and ordinary taxpayers, the Republicans in both houses went for the corporations. So that makes, number one, the biggest tax cut is for corporations. Number two, it's the corporations that get the permanent tax cut, and individuals don't get that. Then you add on top of that what they do for the wealthy, the top rate for the wealthy, they're now going to bring down from nearly 40% to 37%. Doesn't sound like much, but if you're making $50, $100 million, getting 3% less on your taxes accounts. They're going to get rid of the estate tax.
That's right.
Which applies to only about 8,000 families in the entire country every year. It's only the not only the rich, not only the super rich, but the hyper super rich are the only people who benefit from this. They've adopted what they call a pass-through provision. So when people privately own their own corporation, and some pretty large corporations running up to $1-2 billion a year are privately owned, those people will be taxed at a special, what they call, pass-through rate. As the money goes from the corporation to the individual. And the pass-through rate is 29.6%. So those wealthy individuals, instead of paying the 37%, which is already a reduction, paying less than 30%. So it is one thing after another. I mean, and by the way, the real estate industry, which is the industry of our president, Donald Trump, is benefiting from many of these provisions. So, I mean, he's said publicly, I'm suffering, I'm going to hurt here. Absolute nonsense. It doesn't connect at all with the reality of this tax bill. So, yeah, and then there are other things that hurt middle-class taxpayers. The standard deduction is going up. That is going to help people in the lower middle, probably people from household income $30,000 to $60,000, something like that.
Sure.
But Above that, between $60,000 and $100,000, $110,000, it's going to take away the deductions you can list, which might be higher than the standard deduction. They're going to put a lid on the deduction for state and local taxes. In Pennsylvania, you got pretty substantial taxes. In Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, cities like that, you got substantial local taxes. You used to be able, under the current law, to write off all of those as deductions on the federal income tax return. Now they're saying, nope, you can only write off $10,000. Well, that covers quite a bit, but there are going to be a lot of middle class, upper middle class, certainly professional people who are going to get hit by that. They rejected an idea from Senator Marco Rubio and others to increase the child tax credit. So people with large families, modest or low incomes, were hoping for a tax break there. Republicans said no. So here you have getting rid of the estate tax. If they had left the estate tax, it would have paid for a child tax credit increase. So given the choices, time after time, this is a group of leaders in the Republican Party in both houses that is chosen to help the corporations and then to help the wealthy and not to do so much for the middle class. Totally contradictory to what Donald Trump said he was going to do.
Oh, absolutely. And like you were saying, I mean, even if some people are seeing with that raising the standard deduction, it's being offset by so many of the things that you spoke about. And it's funny to think that if you'd had when it comes to the deficit, if you would have under Obama, if there had been a proposal to increase the deficit by, you know, this type of amounts, $1.5 trillion, you would have heard, you know, yelling from the rafters there in Congress from the Republican side about how awful this was and how Obama was
You did. You had Republicans attacking Obama even as the deficit was going down.
That's true.
He inherited enormous deficits from George Bush.
That's right.
What's interesting is when the Republicans are in office under Reagan and under Bush and now under Trump, they did big tax cuts under each one of them, which ran the deficits up. And then when the Democrats got in after them, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, then they blamed the Democrats for the deficits. I mean, I know it sounds like this is a partisan comment, but this is not a partisan comment. This is just simply looking at the record, who
right.
did what and
that's
what
right.
was what was the impact.
That's very clear. It's very clear. And you know, it is one example of a bit of, you know, talking out both sides of their mouth or hypocrisy going on here in terms of what they say and what they're going to do. And I think what I'm hearing from you as far as your point is that going back to Trump's words, his words about, you know, making that appeal to those forgotten, to those left behind, as you said, to working families, is not what he's proposing here. And I do want to get to that, more on that and more as far as the details of this thing and its impact, but we need to take a break.
Sure.
But it's our pleasure to have on with us here, Hedrick Smith, the reporter, author, television producer here on the Union Edge. This is Nathan Ruggles. We'll be right back here in a moment.
If you haven't already signed up for health coverage through healthcare.gov and haven't secured insurance for 2018, Time is running out. The deadline to sign up on the Federal Health Exchange is midnight Friday. With the period being 6 weeks shorter than it was in prior years, state agencies and consumer groups are working hard to make sure people take action. There are some concerns that higher premiums may deter some people from even looking into a plan, but Walker Wilson with the State Department of Health and Human Services says it is worth a look.
The cost of coverage may go up for certain people based on the insurance carriers who are making plans available on the healthcare.gov website, but people who qualify for a subsidy, their out-of-pocket costs may not change at all.
Tuesday, Governor Cooper asked the federal government to extend the open enrollment period for a week, but there's no indication that requests will be granted. There's free help available both in person and over the phone. More information can be found at ncnavigator.net or by calling 855-733-3711 to speak with trained enrollment navigators. According to published reports, as of December 2nd, just over 209,000 people in North Carolina signed up for 2018 insurance through the exchange, compared to 500,000 for this year's coverage. Scott Mulhauser with Consumers for Quality Care urges people to take action.
You're in these final days and these final hours, and Friday night's the deadline. And so it's critical that folks just take a look. They go online and they make sure that they're covered, their family's covered. Use this open enrollment period to make it work for you.
Walker Wilson says the state has been able to encourage involvement in the past, and she's hoping the trend will continue.
North Carolina has been one of the highest enrollment states where we've moved more people from the uninsured category to the insured category, and I think that's in part due to the statewide focus on this and the local partnerships where there are people who are on the ground helping people enroll.
Nationwide, as of this week, 4.7 million people have signed up for health care through the exchange. Some states with their own health exchanges, which North Carolina does not have, were able to extend their enrollment period until December 22nd. I'm Stephanie Carson for the North Carolina News Service.
Somos la Unión Internacional de los Panaderos, Confiteros y Trabajadores de Tabaco y los Molineros de Grano luchando por los trabajos americanos. Nabisco, fabricante de marcas icónicas como el Oreo, Ritz Crackers y Chips Ahoy, ha ganado la fortuna en América y su respuesta patriótica ha sido enviar los trabajos americanos a México. Como resultado, los consumidores en los Estados Unidos siguen boicoteando los productos hechos en México. Ingresos corporativos han bajado en todo Norteamericana. Los consumidores están enviando un mensaje muy fuerte y claro. Ahora los líderes religiosos de todas las religiones a través de los Estados Unidos están pidiendo una investigación del modelo de negocio de Nabisco y han programado un tour de 6 ciudades para investigar el asunto de manera más profunda. En el mismo momento en que las negociaciones de NAFTA están en la mente de todos, la comunidad religiosa comenzará a hablar de los trabajadores, los políticos y otros líderes religiosos con la intención de discutir el exilio de trabajos por Nabisco desde una perspectiva moral y ética y publicarán ampliamente sus hallazgos. El BCTGM y su socio Justicia Obrera Interconfesional piden a toda la gente de fe y conciencia social que se unan a esta lucha contra la explotación por Nabisco de trabajadores en los Estados Unidos y México. Millones ya están boicoteando los productos de Nabisco hechos en México y ya está afectando sus ganancias de la empresa. Únase a nuestra lucha por la justicia moral y económica. Únase a nosotros en www.fightforamericanjobs.com. www.fightforamericanjobs.com.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
And we're back here on the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Nathan Ruggles. Thanks for being here with us today. I'd like to extend some thanks out to the Teamsters as well as the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO. Our thanks to them for their sponsorship. So we're going to continue the conversation here with the Emmy Award-winning documentary producer, Hedrick Smith. Hedrick, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, I'm delighted. I hope you'll let them know that the analysis we're doing here on the tax bill is extensively treated on my website, reclaimtheamericandream.org. So I hope that if people are interested in checking further into this, that they'll visit the website. They'll find some other stuff going on there about gerrymander reform and minimum wage and student debt and that kind of stuff. But
absolutely.
The topic we're talking about today, there's lots more there.
You definitely have some great great essays, great resources, great stuff on your website there on this issue and much more. I did have a question I wanted to ask you. You know, when you started out talking about as far as, you know, what Trump has said and what he said back then in October 2016, he talked about it during the campaign that he would have tax cuts for working families, for the middle class, for the left behind, for the forgotten. Now, he in particular was able to make this appeal to folks who, to their desperation over their lack of their income stagnation, and use it to win that election. But if we look back in terms of what we've heard, the type of rhetoric and language out of members of the Republican Party, this is not dissimilar, right, to the types of appeals we've heard before in appealing to working families on one hand, but on the other hand, the reality of these tax cuts has gone to the 1% and the wealthiest. This is not the first time this has happened, right?
No, that's right. We've heard before that there are going to be middle class tax cuts. Certainly, George W. Bush said that with the tax cuts he pushed through in 2001, and Ronald Reagan talked about a balanced tax cut, that would be fair across the board in 1981. And what we know is that the 1981 tax cuts added $1 trillion in wealth to the wealth of the 1% each decade since then. A trillion in the 80s, a trillion in the 90s, a trillion in the 2000s, and then the Bush tax cuts added another trillion to the wealth. And so this inequality that we've gotten in this country has really been fostered to a great deal by the tax cuts that have been sold to people publicly as middle tax cuts. The gimmick here is this idea that it's certainly been articulated by Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, by Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary under Trump, and by Trump himself, that if you cut taxes for corporations from 35% down to, they're now going to make it 21%, that corporations will have more money, and so they'll hire more people, they will expand production, they will increase jobs, and they will raise wages. And that's been the siren song all along in this tax cut. The difficulty is that it doesn't square with the record. If you go back and look at the track record, over the last decade, from 2000 to 2010, this is a study by University of Massachusetts economist named Bill Lozonik, published in the Harvard Business Review, what he found out is that the major American corporations in that decade returned 91% of their profits to their shareholders, to the owners, to Wall Street, and that's primarily to very wealthy, super-rich investors, and only 9%. Of their profits went to R&D, expanding markets, training workers, and raising worker pay. So there's nothing in the track record that would lead you to believe that what Paul Ryan and Steve Mnuchin and the president are telling you is actually going to happen. And not only that, there was a meeting in which the president's economy advisor, Gary Cohn, who's a former president of the Wall Street firm, a Wall Street investment firm, asked a whole bunch of CEOs how many of them were going to invest in more production and higher wages and more jobs. And only a few hands went up in the room, and Cohn was shocked. I find this, for a guy who worked for Goldman Sachs all these years, who made money for wealthy people by investing smartly, that he was surprised that corporate executives.
He should know, right?
Yeah, he should know from his own. And he does know. I mean, it's a bit of a game. I mean, this is
a dangerous game.
Yeah.
Dangerous for working families.
And what's really interesting and what's very upsetting, and people, it may take a while for people to discover this. But there was a study done by a very famous French economist named Thomas Piketty several years ago. And what he said was inequality in the American economy or the French economy or the German or the English or wherever, but inequality in economics is going to increase as long as people making money from money, that is investing money, the super rich, the Wall Street investors, if their profits every year are 7 or 8 or 10 or 15 or 20%, and the economy is only growing at 1 or 2 or 3%, inequality is going to increase because they're going to make money faster than people's wages are
going
to go up.
And that's what's
exactly
been going on.
What this tax bill does.
And that's what's been going on, right? And you call it a cancer on your article, right?
Yeah. There's no question. It's a cancer that's eating at the health of our society. It's eating at the health of our democracy. I mean, one of the reasons why Donald Trump was successful politically in 2016 is he articulated the pain and the ache and the sense of being forgotten, left out, and being in an economic dead end of tens of millions of American people, mostly blue-collar people in the working class, and many people in rural areas who literally have been left out by globalization, by the movement of large American corporations of their operations overseas. And
that's
he
right.
touched on something that was real. But
he did.
He's not dealing with it.
No, he's not. And unfortunately, I think he really fed on all those legitimate concerns and fears of those folks. And he used that to get himself elected. But now that he's elected, is he serving them? Is he fulfilling his promises? And obviously, from everything we've been talking about here and more, the answer is no. And I have to say, those numbers that you were mentioning are absolutely incredible. The $1 trillion a decade going to the 1%. And those tax cuts to corporations, 91% going to their shareholders, and out of the 9% left, just a small fraction of that actually going into the pockets of working families. Absolutely incredible, and we're seeing this all over again.
You know, it's important. I'm a reporter. I worked for the New York Times for 26 years. I'm a reporter. It's very important to kind of get the facts out. I mean,
right.
I know there are a lot of people that throw these numbers around one way or another. And the Democrats are saying the Republicans are screwing the middle class and they're taking care of the super rich. And the Republicans are saying, no, we're taking care of the middle class and so forth. So you need some people who are actually like umpires in a ball game, who are actually going to say, all right, now let's look at what actually happened. Let's look at the facts. And that's what I'm trying to lay out here. There's one other set that's interesting. In his 26 campaign, on his website, the Trump campaign was suggesting that the middle class was going to get a tax cut of around 33%. About a third of its taxes were going to go down. Now, the tax bill that's been put forward by the Republicans is extremely complicated, and almost nobody, no individual, can go figure out what am I actually going to get out of this.
Sure.
There's an independent group called the Tax Policy Center.
Yes.
And they're in Washington. They're a think tank. They're nonpartisan. They're pretty well accepted on both sides. What it said was that in 2019, a household earning between $50,000 and $75,000, so we're talking right in the sweet spot of the middle of the middle class, would save $780 a year if the Senate version of the tax bill becomes law. Now, it's going to be slightly different. So those numbers may differ by $100 or $200.
Okay.
But that is essentially a tax cut of less than 9% for that group. So right at the middle, where Trump was saying, you know, in his campaign, you're going to get around 30-35%, it's only 8.9% or 9%. So people are going to get something. It's not nothing. But relatively speaking, to the people at the top, the super rich, to Wall Street, to the corporations, it's just a huge gulf. I mean, we've already got a Grand Canyon of inequality in this country, and it's going to become as wide as the Red Sea. I don't know how much further we can go with inequality. And the difficulty is it's going to make the economy work less well. It's going to make tens of millions of people more unhappy. It's going to make it very hard for them to figure out both who's responsible and how to fix it. This is terrible.
And at the end of the day, it's working families that are ones that are going to get hurt by this. At the end of the day, we do have to wrap up. But real quick, where can we find out more about this and all the issues that you talk about?
Well, if you go to reclaimtheamericandream.org on the web, you go to look what's new. You'll find three blogs on the middle class tax cut Is it jobs growth, or is that a myth? Is it fake math? Is it this cancer? And all this numbers and so forth in the studies are there. There's lots of other stuff.
Okay.
There's a blog there on will the Democratic victory in Virginia, this was written after the Virginia victories and the New Jersey victory, now we've got the Alabama victory, is that going to mean the Democrats can capture the Congress in 2018? Or not, or are they up against Republican gerrymandering in states like Pennsylvania and Ohio,
okay,
and Michigan, and that's going to block them? There's the stories about that. There's what's Putin after? Has Putin won a new Cold War? So it's a whole variety of stuff there that people can find. I think you'll find it interesting.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we appreciate you coming on and talking about this this issue here today, Hedrick.
Great, Nathan. Happy holidays to you and your listeners.
Oh, and you as well. Thank you so very much. That was Hedrick Smith, the author, reporter, producer, and this is Nathan Ruggles here with you on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.